Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the marriage program on Radio Islam International on this beautiful Saturday morning, a rainy Saturday morning here in Indonesia. Lots to look forward to on the show this morning. Firstly, we're sharing with you the nikah announcements. Thereafter, we will be doing a discussion regarding marriage. Later on the program, the YouTube clip, as well as being joined by Idris Khamisa. But first, we look at the nikah announcements. A'linu nikah waj'aluhu fil masajid. Announce the nikah and perform them in the masjids. The nikah of Junaid Jibai, the son of Hafiz Sadiq Jibai and Aisha Jibai, to Sabiha Bula, the daughter of Maulana Yusuf and Rashida Bula of Colenso. This nikah takes place after Asr Salah. The venue is the New Town Masjid, that is the Hamidiyah Masjid in New Town. The nikah of Yusuf Patel, the son of Dr. Riaz and Hawa Patel, to Azra Suji, the daughter of Ibrahim Ali by Suji and Shahana Suji. This nikah taking place today, the 27th of January, after Asr Salah. The venue is Masjid Nur in Roshni. The nikah of Hafiz Muhammad Lunat, the son of Harun and Farhana Lunat of Lanesia, to Zakira Muhammad, the daughter of Ahmed and Fazila Muhammad, also of Lanesia. Nikah taking place today after Asr Salah, and the venue is Nurul Islam Masjid. And the nikah of Naseem Randeri, the son of Zahid and Farhana, to Yesira Esop, the daughter of Zunaid and Shamim. Zunaid and Shamima, this nikah taking place on the 27th of January. The time is 6:30 p.m. and the venue is Nurul Islam Masjid. The nikah of Shamil Batis, the son of Fatima and the late Ibrahim, to Lamiz Hendricks, the daughter of Saliha and the late Osman Hendricks. This nikah taking place at 10 a.m. at Masjidul Ashiqeen. The nikah of Hafiz Shu'aib Haji, the son of Maulana Shafiq Ahmed and Khadija Bibi of Lanesia, to Noreen Khan, the daughter of Farooq and Jubaida Khan of Crosby. This nikah taking place tomorrow, the 28th of January. The time is 11:15 a.m. and the venue is Masjidul Islam in Mayfair West. The nikah of Muhammad Asmal, the son of Riaz, Mahmoud and Maryam Asmal of Reservoir Hills in Durban, to Sumaya Minti, the daughter of Maulana Muhammad and Maimuna Minti of Klagsdorp. This nikah taking place tomorrow as well at 11:30 a.m. Masjid Taqwa in Sikau Lake is the venue for this nikah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah fill their marriages with happiness, with barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a pious offspring. We take a short break. When we come back, we continue with the program. Lack of communication in marriage. Lack of communication in marriage, you know, is a fast track to a bad marriage. So when we speak about marriage, a marriage consists of two people who come from different backgrounds and have different methods of communication, have different wants, have different needs. So it's understandable, you know, that how these varying factors can make it difficult for couples to talk. But the relationship needs a strong emotional and physical bond to succeed. So everything that is, you know, the marriage is based around, whether it be the work, the home, the physical relationship, all of this here will suffer when you don't share your thoughts and feelings with your partner. This makes it all the more important to learn how to communicate with your spouse, even when the subject matter is awkward or uncomfortable. Now, when one partner freezes the other one out, there will be trouble to follow. And there are different problems that will then come out of that lack of communication. And one of the problems that the experts say is that it could lead to money problems in the relationship. Now, when it comes to your finance and money, this can be a touchy subject for most people. And it's a topic that people might feel a bit awkward to talk about, especially if you, you know, if you're trying to budget, if you're trying to save, there are expenses as well. And you haven't even told your partner if you have any debts and so forth. So this can be a bit of a touchy topic. Now, whether you and your partner share a bank account and know exactly what's going on, or you keep your finances, you know, separate and, you live in this way, it's still important to talk about your monthly expenses. You know, couples who do not talk about money matters at times may overspend, and then they end up being in deeper debts than they were before they even got married. So it's important, you know, for couples to discuss budgeting and to be open about their expenses and where they need to budget, where they need to cut down, so that they can save that buck or two. So, if there's no communication at all, if there's no communication and no good communication between one another, then this, it could lead to this problem as well, because now you cannot discuss your financial issues, you cannot discuss where you need to budget or where you feel we need to cut down so that we can save some money. And another problem that it leads to when there is a lack of communication in a marriage is that you become emotionally distant. That the less you communicate with your spouse, the more emotionally distant you will become. Now, we all know that talking is how you connect with the next person. When there is a lack of communication in the marriage, the love also starts to fade. That love that you have between one another, this also starts to fade. And one of the studies that were conducted by these marriage counselors or the therapist, and this was done many years back, I think about 40 years back, and they found that the most common communication problem revolves around partners refusing to communicate. Or what we would call, you know, the silent treatment, that I'm not going to talk to them, I'm just going to let it go. But partner criticism or defensive communication, and overall all of this here, when we do this, you know, when they want to talk to us but we sort of block out and zone out and don't communicate with one another, and then this leads to this emotional distance, and this then becomes a large factor when we are speaking, or rather a large factor in divorce. Because when couples grow distant, you know, they are less inclined to have, you know, they're less inclined to go out and spend quality time with one another, or even fix what is going wrong and what problems they are facing with in their marriage. So another point that they have mentioned here is that when there is lack of communication in a marriage, you become emotionally distant. That you don't know exactly who that person is, you fade away from one another. The love that you had for one another also fades away. And when there is lack of communication, it also results in wrong assumptions. When couples are not open with one another, you know, it can be easy for them to start making assumptions. If you're not letting your spouse know that you'll be coming home late, or you had an important meeting, or you're going to meet someone, so you won't be home for supper, or you won't be home at the usual time, without this communication, and you just come home, you arrive late, and then you explain yourself. So your spouse might think that you are up to, you know, you're doing something wrong, or you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. But if there is good communication, then these assumptions will not be there. But if you're not communicating with your spouse, then all of these assumptions can be made in the relationship. So it's to be open about your emotion, to be your emotions, to be open about you know, what you are doing and when you are doing it, so that you do not lead them to having these type of assumptions. You know, if you're tired perhaps and you really want to, you know, sleep, you got to share that emotion with them as well. You don't want your partner to assume that, you know what, you're bored of them, and then they end up feeling neglected as well. So even if you are bottling up, you know, your personal problems, and you're not speaking about it, or you're not really communicating with your spouse about it, they might think that they are the source of your anxiety. So all of this here, all of these problems that we are speaking about, it all starts from a lack of communication in a marriage. That is the most important thing in a marriage. And one of the other things that were mentioned by the experts, and they say that what would happen is when you are not speaking to them or when you are not sharing your thoughts with them, thereafter you'll seek, you know, to fill that void. Because as humans, we need to interact with people. We are interactive beings. We need to speak to people. So when you're not speaking to your spouse or when you're not communicating with your spouse, you will look for other people to fill that void. So that lack of communication is one of the leading causes of divorce. If you don't talk to one another, then what are you? Are nothing more but nothing more than roommates. You're just living in the same house, and drawing away from your spouse in thought or action, you know, can be extremely dangerous. So what would happen is that discussions that you were supposed to be having with your spouse, or you were supposed to be talking to them about it, you now try and find someone else who you can find or look for that comfort in, and that is going to just lead to a bad road. So all of this here, you know, it's just to explain that when there's a lack of communication in the marriage, it's not that's not the only problem that that will come, but with it there comes another or a number of other problems that we can see here. And it also shows neglect, you know, that you're not looking after that relationship, or you don't feel that the relationship to be important enough. So important that in a marriage that communication should be there, and good communication between the husband and a wife, you know, discussing the matters that are there. If there are things that need to be or that you disagree on as well, then speak about it. Speak about it in a way that that is good, not that every argument should become one big fight where every thing that was done in the past is also brought up. But no, that is not healthy communication. But, you know, deal with the matter at hand and speak about it, communicate with one another, and don't, you know, go into that mode where there's no communication, you're fading away from one another, the love is also fading. This would only lead to a bad marriage, and it won't help in fixing any of the problems. 24 minutes past the hour of 9, you're on the marriage program. Right, time for the YouTube clip of the week, and this week we are listening to Mufti Ismail Menk.
Today, to get a good person to marry is like hunting for a needle in a haystack. Perhaps not as difficult as that, but for a lot of people it may be just that. And it is very, very risky, because sometimes we've picked up part of the hay and we think it's a needle. And in the same way, we think we have a good man or a good wife, and it only turns out later on that they're not as good as we thought they were. So it's important for us, once we've made the decision, each one of us should be, the main aim in our lives should be to please our Maker, to please our Creator. We need to be constantly conscious of that. If that is the case, we will be able to lead a happy life. If my main aim is to please my Creator, my religion teaches me to be the best person, to be the best husband, to be the best wife, to be good in character, good in conduct, to get up early in the morning, to, you know, to read late at night, to make sure that I've prayed, to make sure that I have fulfilled my duties unto Him, as well as my duties unto the rest of my family members. All that is part and parcel of my religion and fulfilling what the Almighty has instructed me to fulfill. And for this reason, when you look at someone who has character, conduct, they speak well, they know how to come across, when they want to say something, they choose the best way of coming across, you will lead a much happier life than marrying someone who's very abrupt, no character, no conduct, no religion, and so on. We've had cases where you have people who pick up their wives in nightclubs. It is said that is exactly where they leave them. We ask Allah to protect us. What that means is, they picked someone up in the nightclub because of how good their legs looked, or for example, how nice their face was, or how beautiful the hair was. The day they find someone with better legs, na'udhu billah, or better hair, or better looks, they will drop this one and go for the next. So that was not the proper way of looking for a wife. Whereas, we needed to be introduced to someone with utmost dignity and respect. Why is it that Islam teaches us the introduction? So that we can protect the female from being blackmailed, from the gullibility that she might be falling into, and from being abused and used. You find a person behind the backs of their parents, they develop a link with someone and they continue, this person is blinded by love. We all know even the English saying, love is blind. The English have said it, love is blind. Islam says the same thing. The hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, love can not only blind you, but it can make you deaf and dumb at the same time. Which means you will not understand anything, because it's love. So they will come to you with their gifts, with their beautiful words. They only show you what they want to show you. And in the process what happens? We tend to think this is them. We have not yet lived with them. We don't even know their family. We don't know what their family thinks of them. We don't know what the friends think of them. And this is why the introduction was wrong, in the sense that we haven't yet understood the whole person, and we're so much in love with them, we cannot wait to get married. So we think, let's get married. We put pressure on our parents and everything, say it were to happen, and we ended up marrying the second day, if not the first, we're already complaining, this is not the same person I married. This is not the same person. Look at him. He's vulgar. No, he is the same person. But he didn't show you what he didn't want you to see prior to getting married. Because he needed you in his picture. Now that you are in his picture, it's over. You are doomed. May Allah protect us. Nobody is doomed. We always have another chance. But let's not repeat the mistakes. And let's not continue in that way. For this reason, we are taught the introduction should happen with respect. And when it happens with respect, the elders need to know about it. Someone, you know, some male needs to know about it. And they need to approve of it. In the sense that they should guide us along. Before you fall head over heels in love with someone, you need to know their character and conduct, and you need to have moved through a category where you could have said no without it hurting you, and without you feeling, oh, I've lost so much, this person is my enemy because they are telling me no, and that person is my enemy because they are telling me no. We don't want that type of behavior, and for that reason we protect the female especially from the beginning. Sometimes I know the world is preaching freedom and so on. Sometimes the word freedom is used to drop us into the dumps, and we don't realize that. We don't understand it. Sometimes the word freedom is used in actual fact to enslave us. We don't realize it. And sometimes it is used correctly where we are, to be honest with you, to be practicing our freedoms. So we need to know what decision we make for the type of person we marry. Once you marry the right person, ask yourself, in fact prior to marriage, is this person fit to be the mother of my children? Is this person fit to be a father to the children I expect to have? Will they be a role model? If that is the case, the way they will speak to me will be with respect. They will consider me, they will dignify. Whatever I have to say will be held in high esteem. If they need to correct me, they will do it in all love. They will do it with such goodness and kindness. When they walk with me, they will not disgrace me in public. They will be people who will try to look at things how I look at things. And at the same time, as I said, when they need to correct me, they will correct me in a way that will be palatable and acceptable. It will be digested quite easily.
This is the marriage program, and that was Mufti Ismail Menk sharing with us some of that advices. Now, earlier in the program, we did speak about communication and how important it is for a good marriage. A message that has come through saying that in the beginning, I would do that to my spouse when I'm upset. I wouldn't normally ignore my spouse, and I wouldn't want to talk to them. And I would think that, you know, in the end they would give me that attention, or because of me being quiet they would apologize. But over the years I've realized that this doesn't happen. So it makes it worse, and it creates tension as well, and makes us both frustrated. So rather now we discuss the matter at hand when we are upset with one another, or when there's something that is going on, we prefer to talk about it, and then talk about it, communicate with one another, and then you're done with it rather than being silent. Now, when it comes to different couples have different ways of dealing with the things. Some would prefer to remain silent for, you know, just a few hours, or maybe, you know, just so that they can cool down, and then they discuss it. I think that the point that was made in earlier in the program is that it shouldn't be left totally where now you just, you know, you don't talk about it, and that silent treatment goes on for days, and then you just hope that it fades away. Whereas if you just take a short break where both are silent, or both are, you know, just gathering their thoughts so that they know exactly what they want to bring up in the discussion, that wouldn't be a problem. And the important thing, of course, is to be able to discuss it between the husband and the wife. Time for a break. break, and after that we will be joined by Idris Khamisa. This is the marriage program on Radio Islam International, and we are joined by Idris by Khamisa on the line. Idris, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khairan for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Idris, by the topic that you've chosen, this morning on the marriage program, a very important topic, and just tell us a bit about why you had chosen this topic, this of family routine.
Yes, Maulana, one of the big issues today is that, you know, in marriages there's ongoing conflict in terms of how we're spending our time, where should we spend our time, how much of time, for example, you expect me to spend with your mother in the kitchen or visiting her, and so on and so forth. There are many, many issues regarding this. And as a result, we find that creates a lot of problems. I'll just give you one case, an example, you know. And I went to one particular place in the individual. I mean, he really, Allah bless him, I mean, he really loves his mother. But when you get married, you've got to also, whilst your love for your mother is there, you can't spend all the time there as you did before you got married. You've got to, you know, apportion time there, you've got to spend as much time, but you've got to, especially at the beginning of your marriage, you need to consolidate your marriage. Now, when the wife says, you know what, he spends much more time there, he expects me to have breakfast, lunch and supper there, I don't mind, twice a week we go have breakfast with them or they come over. So this issue about developing a routine is very, very important, because the routine reflects your value system, reflects what is important to you. I mean, for example, you might be a person that is very social and gregarious, and you're a guy that's got lots of friends, and your friends come in and out of your home at any time without notice, and on and so forth. But when you get married, you know, you've got to renegotiate that relationship and say, you know what, guys, you know, I'll meet you all once per fortnight, a week, or whatever. Now, this issue, you find when I ask people all the time, I said, tell me, do you have a family routine? Yes, we have. But I said, was this family routine something you'll discuss, you'll work towards, but they did not do it? So why I'm saying this, I'm saying that it's important that they need to develop a routine in which the expectations of each member of the family is very, very clear, and they do not do things to rub, to be roughshod over the other thing.
Interesting, Rispa, that we speak about this, because a youngster, when he reaches that time where he wants to get married, in that, you know, in the early 20s or late 20s or whenever it is, that life, you know, he's got a bit of a social life, he's got friends, so when he gets married, sometimes they expect that, to continue, that, you know what, I'm married, but I'm still going to take out time for my friends, I'm going to take out time for my fishing trips, and of course, the responsibility of looking after his parents or spending time with his parents. So would it be, is there like a normal schedule that everyone can follow, or is every family going to be different?
Every family is going to be different. It also depends, everyone is different. Individuals are very unique. A lot, for example, for a girl, for example, right? She loves her father and mother. She might have got married from another town, and she mustn't expect, for example, that every weekend or every now and then I'll go to my mom's and dad's place and I'll spend 1 week, 2 or 3 weeks. It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? You have to consolidate your marriage. And I'm not saying your husband should not allow you to go to your parents' place. But to expect that ever so often is not proper. And that's a very, very critical thing. A very, very critical thing. So one of the issues that has to be discussed, and that's why premarital conversations are so critical, that in terms of what is my relationship going to be with my mother-in-law, what is our relationship going to be in the kitchen, how are we going to, if we are staying in the same home, for example, who's going to cook, when are they going to cook, you understand, and are we going to be in the kitchen together, or is it one day I cook, the next day you cook, or every week, whatever. So what all this implies there has to be a discussion. And you know what, Monana, really, I mean, it's so, so sad, man. It's a little thing that's triggering all kinds of emotions, you know. I mean, in the days of our parents, they never had those discussions, you know. They had no idea who they're going to get married to anyway, or in many of them. You know, and they got married and they persevered. And at that time it was different, but today it's also very, very different because we don't have the patience, number one. Secondly, we do not know how to deal with the others. And we do not, for example, you know, it's a pity of parents, you know, teach the children about respecting the others, how to negotiate and so on and so forth. So the routine is a very, very critical thing. A routine will help you in terms of fulfilling your own responsibility as a spouse. It will help you as a father. It will help you as your relationship with your peers, your friends, your extended family, and the community at large. You know.
Now, when we speak about family routine and having this routine in place and speaking about it, it has to be something that is done between the husband and wife, where they sit down and discuss it, not just coming from one side. But is there guidelines, despite that they can follow when and if they want to sit down and have this type of a conversation of bringing routine into their life?
Yes, you know, I have my basic guideline would be the following. If, for example, you are staying in the same estate, as it were, and your in-laws are, say, next to you or whatever, right? And the son feels, you know what, I'd like my wife to spend time with my mother. But then you say, for example, okay, fine, what you do, maybe twice a week, I'm looking at the suggestion, maybe twice a week, we'll have meals with my parents twice a week, right? And we would visit them, say, three times a week, whatever. And this is the amount of time we are. This is some kind of thing. So that what happens is this, you know, do not overstay. I mean, the son would want to stay as much time. And as a result, the wife will feel neglected. So that's the visitation is one aspect, something that you need to decide. But what I'm saying, it mustn't be with these insistence that you want the interaction or sitting there. I mean, the 2 minute interaction is fine, but you expect the wife to spend the day in and day out is unreasonable. Now, the bottom line is this must come through Shura, where the husband and wife need to discuss it, you know, and see what the sentiment is of his wife and take it from there. At the same token, you know, our parents, the mother and the father, they themselves need to also understand that they need to give their son space. I mean, one lady was telling me that everything I do, you know, everything I do, my mom is told, I mean, my mother-in-law is told about it, you know. And the important thing is the fact that that discussion has to take place, right? And that's one aspect. The other aspect is, let us say, when it comes to, you know, you need to look at whatever your habits have been before marriage. And I'm not saying you must give it up completely, right? And you might be a person that before you got married, you might have been playing golf, say, twice a week, as it were. And that takes a long, long time, right? And then you say, you know what, I'm married now, and so maybe I will just go once a week or whatever. So what I'm saying is you need to do an audit of your life. Reflect on your whole life, right? And see what needs to be changed so that your marital life is not being compromised, you know. So you need to look at each item there. It basically, the long and short of it all is essentially how do me and my good wife, how do we manage our time, right? So that we are making sure our marriage is consolidated. We have our moments together, lots of moments together, of course, substantive time with them. At the same time, the wife herself must show a bit of empathy. She mustn't expect the son to cut off ties with his own parents. That is unacceptable, right? So I think that needs to be done. So I think also you find, Maulana, one of the things that I found, that there are more and more young people who feel a sense of insecurity. vanity, they have a low self-esteem, and so when the son is engaging with the mother, they feel they're in competition, you know, and there is a sense of insecurity which is unacceptable also.
That communication as well, that at times you find they would discuss things with the parents and they would have a serious conversation about whatever is troubling them on with their parents, but on the other side, that same discussion wouldn't be had, they wouldn't have it with the wife as well. So it's about, focusing on the marriage as well. That is the most important relationship that you have going. So to put the time and effort in that as well.
No, absolutely. And I think, the bottom line is, and that's the mistake most people make, is the fact that, we do not communicate our feelings, and as a result that if the wife is going through that kind of frustration, she not speak about it initially, and much later, in the life when she's become more confident, whatever, she speaks about it, the person, but I did not know that you're going through all the different emotions. So I think this is critical, that we begin to start discussing things so we fulfill each other's needs and to ask the question, what will make you happy? Every way you go, no matter when I speak to people who know what's going on in the community and the social workers and others, I mean, I tell you that the state of marriages is really at the moment in a very, very, in a very low place. And inshallah, I pray that, we're through engagement, that we're able to, reinstate, as it were, the beauty, the sacredness of this beautiful institution,
It is like, looking at family routine and having everything, having a bit of a schedule, it won't always be able to be followed to the T, but just having that outline of how you're going to spend your time and where you're going to spend your time. A lot of people say that once you have children, then that routine sometimes goes out the window because you never know what to expect. But just on that point as well, as a husband and a wife, you are still a couple, now you have the added responsibility of being a parent. How important is it, for couples at that time who have two or three or even one child to take out time for just spending, for themselves, that quality time between the husband and the wife?
So it is fundamental, it is very, very critical. You find that, when you have kids, when kids now become the focus of your attention, they need both the father and the mother's love, of course. But the whole thing is this, when you, you also need to make time for yourself, so that you're able to have a conversation. You've got to make sure that, you rekindle the passion, there's engagement. Of course, you share the responsibility in the sense of nurturing and rearing the children. So it's you need to be all the time, and as the kids grow up, it's very important that they also participate in this routine. They also speak about what they would like to do, in the routine. And your routine is basically, if you do it, it's a weekly routine and a monthly routine. Some things you might do once a month, some things that you do on a weekly basis, something you might do, on a daily basis.
Yes, it is right now. I've spoken to some people, and they've told me that that focus, especially when it comes to the children, and putting it in your routine to take out time for yourself, for your wife, or for your spouse. What happens is that you focus a lot on the children, and that will be the case because they are your children after all. But then after many years, when those children get married and then move out of the house, you find yourself sitting with someone who you haven't really connected with over the 15 or 16 years, and you think now, who is this person? So important to keep that relationship going as you bring up the children as well.
And absolutely, it's very, very important, It's about living consciously and with intentionality, It's to come home and, and to smile and to, the wife must be happy to see you, share sweet endearments and tell her, my future couple, my darling, and all that,
Yes.
And they get very happy we do that, And we men are not romantic as we're supposed to be, You find lots of women complain that my husband comes, sometimes he comes, if I'm lucky, you would even greet, you know. My wife or my husband has never said anything romantic to me, you know, and hasn't bought me flowers any time, you know. And you get some husbands who are concerned about money. They buy plastic flowers for their wife. So for the rest of the married life, you know, those flowers will remain.
Risa, when you told me about this, you know, this topic, and you wanted to discuss it on the program, I spoke to one or two people, and just to get some of, you know, their thoughts on it as well. And one person told me that, you know, Risa can maybe just explain on this as well, saying that it's all well and good to have a routine, but there must be room for, you know, a bit of change in it as well. He says that sometimes what would happen is if you had set out that, you know what, it's only going to be two times by my parents and once by your parents, or this routine that we would like to set out, he says then what comes is that it's expected. It's always expected. And when you don't have it or when it's not there, then this can lead to an argument where people say, no, but this is the day that we have to go. Even though there could be something that has come up, they won't take it because they keep on expecting that this is the routine that we need to follow.
You know, it's a very good point that you raised. You see, the purpose of a routine is to make sure that the needs of every member of the family are met. It's not meant to be prescriptive. There are going to be times, for example, there might be an emergency, some external circumstances. Then what you do? Then you forego that routine. But the point is this, that the fact that today, that you forego so many things as a result, our familial or family relationships are neglected. Now, I'll give you an example. One of my best friend, I mentioned his name, right? I visited them the early part of his marriage, you know. So his beloved wife was telling me that on a Friday night, my husband and I normally go shopping. Shopping, and if he's too tired, then we will not go. She understood that. You know what I'm saying? Right? She understood that we'll go every Friday, but if he's too exhausted and tired, then on that Friday, we will not go. So there is that room for flexibility, right? But when you develop a routine, then what you are saying to your spouse, you're saying you are important, I care for your needs, right? And she's saying you are important, I care for your needs. And there's something that we will do together. Although it is your mother, I will join you. Let's go and visit them together. She's also like my mother. So when you, in other words, you are organizing your time and you're spending the apportioned time. If you look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right, the Sahaba could never ever complain that our Nabi Sallallahu did not give them any time. His close friends, his core group, right, they could never complain he not give them adequate time. His spouses, nobody ever could make any complaint, right? Because, you know, and for example, you know, I think it was Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day, you know. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, he says, why do you visit me every day? He said, because I love you. He said, I know that you love me. He said, but if you increase your love, visit me every second day. Look at that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The whole idea is that you've got to, you know, apportion them properly so that when you are in the twilight years of your life, you have no regret.
Yes. Jazakallah khair and rizpah. And any closing comments from your side on this topic?
You know, my closing comment is mothers, fathers, husbands and wives, no matter whether you are fledgling the marriage or you're married for a long time, re-look at your life. I say to people, if you want to audit your life, then look at your routine. Look at it and inshallah, that routine will give each other dignity. You promote the institution of marriage, inshallah, Allah will keep you close together, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.